Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 324. If you'd like a copy of it, we can send you free of charge. Postage and handling is taken care of. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this program, 324, at the end of the program. We have testimonials. First, we have some songs, and then we have first prayer, song, testimony, and then a strong message from the Lord. Messages primarily from Luke chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, Proverbs 9, 1, and so on, and then Luke 24, 32, and Jeremiah 23, 29. Right now, let's go to the throne of the living God and ask him to anoint the message today and everything that happens on this tape. Lord, that you tell us that you want us to pray to you, not to some just to the air or to the ceiling, but it really angers you if we don't believe that the prayers that we're praying are going to your throne, into your ears. We know that you behold all the evil and all the good that's done here on earth. And we know that you know the condition. I know this from your word, that you know the condition of every one of our hearts, the condition of our minds, the condition of our spirit that dwells within our bodies. The body is a case, a carrying case, for the spirit. The real us is inside of our body. Our body is the house, is a house. And we're going to, Lord, you put that on my heart to get that across through your word today, that the spirit, when an unclean spirit is cast out of a person's body, when it leaves or it departs because it loves the world more than it does to prepare itself in the body to spend eternity in heaven rather than hell, when it leaves, it comes back to the house, the place where it was housed, which is our body, and sees that it was saved, it was washed in the blood of Jesus, and cleansed and garnished and given all the different things that the Holy Spirit gives a house for God to live in. And then they see that there's nothing happening in there, that the Lord has departed from that body, that house, because the Spirit left that body, and the Lord also, because of the sinfulness of the spirit, the evil spirit that was in it, sees that there's no work of God being done there, because that body decided to work for the things of the world rather than for the things of heaven. And so it was cleaned and garnished and then decided to play baseball, basketball, football, or to become an entertainer, or to become something else in this world, possibly into pornography or whoredom of some kind or another. And therefore, this evil demon is walking in dry places. I brought a message on this through you, Father. You used me to do it, that the earth is separated from the water, and the water from the land. And this is something that you did. And they walked in to and fro on this dry land, and they want to get involved. They want... So they come back to... they don't want to be cast outside of these dwelling, the house, the body. So they see that there's nothing happening, the power of God is not there any longer. And so they take themselves. They take them, seven more demons worse than themselves, back into the body with them. And the state of that person is much worse than it ever was, because then there's no more chance for forgiveness. There's no more way that they can be saved. And so people really have to be careful, Father, that this isn't happening, that they continue keeping your word, and that they don't allow Satan to enter into them, or that they don't do anything that's going to anger you so much that you depart from the house, and it's garnished and cleansed, so that the demons, or the demons that were formerly cast out, don't come back to the house and enter in to make it totally impossible for you to enter back in. Your word says that there's people in this world that were once Christians, and they say they're alive, but they're actually dead because there's no work of God being done, and they don't distribute literature anymore. They don't even think about it anymore. They will come into the city and do a chore and then go back up to one of the buildings and just stay there all day instead of being on the streets like the lowly Jesus, witnessing and testifying. And then Satan takes them over because there's no mercy, there's no mercifulness in them to win souls, that their souls can go to heaven. And so Satan can see that these souls, these people, that their bodies are completely cleaned and garnished, and that there's that the Spirit of God has left. And so it's easy for them to come back in because God stated to let them alone. Let them alone. I'm not going to deal with them any longer. Just let Satan enter into them and do his thing. And I, God, will deal with them. So, Father, we pray that you'll let people realize these things from the Word, that people will open their, that you'll open their hearts and their minds and spirits and their souls so that they can receive the things from you that you want them to know today, to bring them closer to salvation and to strengthen the church. In Jesus' name I pray, Father, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now here's Fague Springman to sing. I just really love the way this guy sings because he really has the powerful voice. And it's like positive. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho.
Jericho, 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 Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your king of Gideon, you may talk about a man of Saul, there's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Right up to the walls of Jericho he marched, with spear in hand. Those ram horn Joshua cried, "Is the battle lamb in my hand?" Then the lamb ram sheep horn began to blow, trumpets begin to sound. Joshua commanded the children to shout, and the wall came tumbling down. I love Jenny.
Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. So I was reading to you some scriptures the other day. I had the sisters read it here. In regarding to that our bodies are the house of the living God. Know you not that ye are the house or the temple where God lives. And he doesn't just live in you by himself, he lives in there with you. But he mingles his spirit in us so that we can become like him. Because there's no way that we can get into the kingdom of heaven unless we become like him. Not an imitation of him, but exactly him. It's him mingled in our spirit. There's a mixture, it's like a blend of God and us in a human body, just as Jesus was. Now, it was God, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was conceived into this Jewish girl's womb by the Holy Spirit. And it was, so the body actually was human. The body of Jesus was human, but the spirit inside was God. And so the body was a vessel for God to live out his life in while that body was here on earth. And the body had to be completely yielded to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit within him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that was within him. Now, the body was named Jesus Christ, and the Bible plainly states that he was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that he also was a man. And this was done by God to encourage us that we too are made out of the same flesh that Jesus was made out of, Jesus Christ, so that he was saying that he had to go away so he could send the Holy Spirit, the triune God, into us so that we could be like him. Because the commandment is that we must be like him, but we can't do it without him, the triune God, living in us. So when the triune God is living in us, then we're able to do even greater things than Jesus did here on earth. That's what Jesus said. Now, this is the Word of God. Why would it be greater things? Because, like, we can get on radio. If there's a lot of people on the radio and on television that are not of the Lord, and there maybe are some. I'm so busy with my own ministry that it's hard for me to be able to track every ministry that's happening on earth. But I know there are people that are serving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength all over the world, because we have a lot of distributors everywhere in the world, and the radio broadcast is going everywhere, and so we just really appreciate the media, the part of the media, not the mass media that is the actual mouth or voice of Satan, the Antichrist, but the media that allows the Word of God to get out into the world. Because there's so many human bodies, and that's all they are. And we see, you know, from different pictures how that there's a fetus inside of a female where this grows. It looks like a little tadpole or something, and then it grows into a human body, that has a spirit in it. That has temporal life. It's not permanent at all. Eventually, it's going to die, and every soul that's born is born into the world by man through fornication. But the Bible states that spirit in us must be born again by the Spirit of God. God has to enter into that human body and into that human temporal spirit to make it permanent. And when he does enter into our house, it's our house, and it's the house of the Lord. That's what he created us into, his likeness and image, so that he could move into us, into some body that looks like him, and then live out his life in and through us by his power. Now, it's impossible to keep the commandments of the Lord unless the Lord's spirit, the full Godhead spirit, has mingled himself into our spirit. When that happens, then we are the continuation of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're the continuation of Christ's incarnation in human bodies. Now, that's what pleases God, is that the world would be saved by allowing God to step into incarnation. So when God became incarnate, he stepped into a human body, he dwelt among us, and now he doesn't want to just live in that one human body, but he wants to gather together many sons, and that's what the scripture means, that when the Spirit of God enters our house, in other words, we're the house of God, we're the temple of God, then we cry, Abba. He's our Father, and we're his sons. By the virtue of God, Son, with the Father by the Spirit, living in us. And when God the Son with the Father by the Spirit lives in us, it's in a human body. He mingles himself with our spirit, and yet the body is not the real us. It's the spirit that lives on forever. Now, eventually, when the Lord is in us, he's going to raise us up at the last day if his spirit is mingled with ours. It's just like the hand of God that has a hold of our spirit and mingled into our spirit so that he can actually pull with his hand us out of this violin case or this soul case, the case that our spirit is living in with his, and he can pull us out and up into the kingdom of heaven. But if we've rejected that spirit, if we've rejected the Lord, his word, we don't like to read his word because, you know, we have so many other busy things to do, like women have to polish their nails, like that's important, and they have to polish their toes and trim their hair and curl their hair, and they have to dress and make sure that everything is just so, which doesn't profit them at all whatsoever. But we're going to read from Luke 11, verses 24 to 26 right now, so that you can see. I've been doing scriptures, messages on the house for Solomon in the 7th chapter of 1 Kings, builded his house for 13 years. And then I also told you that I built my house for 17 years, but not as much as I should have, because the Lord even appeared before me and told me that I wasn't reading the Word enough, that I was paying too much attention to building homes and buying houses and making sure finances were coming in so that the brothers and sisters would have a place to stay. And the Lord said, no, the most important thing is to listen to his word. So many people, like if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll see how unimportant it is for people to be concerned about the things of this world or accruing great riches, because when you do, you're going to die and you're going to have to leave those riches to somebody else, someone that may not be a wise man, they may be a fool. And what good was all the labor that you made when eventually you're going to have to die and you're going to have to face God? And then after that, you're going to wonder, why did I spend so much time earning money and storing it up for somebody that's going to be after me to spend? When in reality, here I am standing before the judgment bar of God, and God's going to ask me, where are the souls that I demanded you to win? Where are the human souls? Why are you not bringing sheaves before me? Why are there's no harvest? I wanted a harvest, and I sent every human being into the world to harvest souls, to win them by sowing the good seed, the Word of God, into them. Because the Word of God is like seed. Seed, the glory of the seed is within the seed. You can't see it. The only time that the glory of the seed is observed is after you plant it in the earth, and then, like, we're made out of the earth, and so seed, God's word is like seed. We have to plant God's word, or seed, into people's souls who are made out of dirt. And then some way, unbeknownst to man, there's something within the word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, really. And there's life, eternal life in that word, that will germinate within our soul when it's received, if we receive it. And then it brings forth the glory of God, because then we give up our life and we're resurrected from the old life unto the Holy Spirit life, the kingdom of heaven life, which is the eternal life. That's, we're going to live forever. We're no longer temporal, but we are eternal. And so there's something incorporated with even the tiny seed, if it's the seed of a flower. I mean, there's something so gorgeous within that seed, but it looks ugly. Just like our human bodies look ugly. You may say you put, may paint your face or curl your hair or do whatever you do, polish your nails and all that, but that's a facade, you know. It's just like you could take bad lumber that has all kinds of marks in it and put putty on it and then paint it and things like that. And but that's still wood or metal or something, and it's the same way no matter what kind of a facade you put on it. And the human body is continuously dying. And the soul that sins is continuously dead. And the dead know nothing. But in that seed, when it raises up or it's resurrected, you plant it into the earth, it's resurrected up and it's glorified. This is why I say that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that I have not yet been glorified. But when he resurrected from the dead, he had been glorified. I haven't been to the Father yet in heaven, but the Father was in him anyway. And that's why he was able to say to the people, his disciples, he says, I'm not a spirit. He appeared in front of them in a room and said, I'm not a spirit. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. He said, handle me. Put your fingers into the holes in my hand and my feet. Look at, I've got nail-pierced hands and feet. And thrust your fist into my side. Because you'll see then that I'm flesh and blood and bone. A spirit doesn't have flesh and blood. You know why? Because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That means that the flesh is worthless, he says. The flesh profits nothing. It's the interior. The flesh is a house, but all houses are going to burn up eventually. And so the spirit is what is going to live on forever somewhere. It's going to live on either in heaven or in hell. And to tell you, there's many places in the scripture states that we are the house of God, the temple of God, the building of God. And he is our temple as well. We have to be in Jesus in order to be a part of Jesus, because only Jesus is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You could liken Jesus unto a big bus. You got to be on the bus in order to go where he is. He is the only vessel that's getting into heaven. But if we're in him, then we're in heaven right now. We don't receive eternal life when we enter the kingdom of heaven. We enter eternal life right here on this earth. And it's like the Garden of Eden that enters into us. And the Bible commands us to keep the garden. To keep the garden. Protect that garden. Put on the full armor of God. Be armed with the word of God to defend that soul, that spirit that's in you that's going to live on forever. Because if you don't defend it, if you allow the things of this world, the temptations of this world, the lusts of this world, all the different things in this world to allure you away from the Lord, from his word, from his purpose, which is to win souls, and to keep yourself, your spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're you care so little about the Word of God that you actually disbelieve it, that this isn't true, we're only going to live once, and we're only going to live for a little while, and so we're just going to live it up, you know. We're going to have sex with as many people as we can. We're going to go out and take drugs. We're going to experience everything in this world, because that's what we're here for, is to have fun, to have, to enjoy everyday life. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say that we're supposed to enjoy everyday life, that it's a cross-carrying life. We're not to come and get a bouquet of roses and to live, you know, in comfort, because we're to take up the cross. We're to deny ourselves and follow the Lord. That is, if you want to receive eternity in heaven. Now, okay, if we deny ourselves here, we'll have everything in heaven. We'll have eternal life. And what it is, you're not going to have 70 blonde virgins laying on mats and things like this. This is false doctrine from the Catholic Muslim Church. They both are one. And that's why the Catholics were able to prophesy that the Muslims were going to do some sort of mischief, some terrorism on 9/11, because they're the ones that planned it. They're the ones that laid it all out. But what it is there's ecstasy in the kingdom of heaven, and it's beautiful, and there's peace that passes understanding even here on this earth. We get a taste of the kingdom of heaven on this earth, but we realize the entire thing there. It's so beautiful, you just can't even imagine. It hasn't entered anybody's brain. I've seen it. I've seen on the other side. And you hear people saying, well, no one has ever seen the Lord. Nobody's ever... I have, all right? And that's why I consider myself to be a eyewitness of the things that the Lord has stored up for us. I've seen it. I've seen the beauty, and I've felt this power of the kingdom of heaven and the ecstasy there. It's absolute ecstasy. People talk about the ecstasy of sex. There's no need for it there, because the ecstasy there is billions and trillions of times with more ecstasy than sex ever had. There's no letdown of it either. Like people after sex, it's a letdown. A lot of people, they don't even want to deal with like many men don't want to even have sexual relationships with a woman after they've had sex with them. In the kingdom of heaven, you don't even think. It's just like this ecstasy is everywhere around you, and it's compounded billions of times in you to where you're just so satisfied that there's no words to express it. And a lot of people say I'm pretty good at explaining things, but I can't explain that. And I've heard the torments. I saw the flicker, the flames of the hell on it was like a brick fireplace. And I could hear people moaning down there and says, oh my God, it's true. It was true, and we're here, and oh God, and they're in, and the pain, it hurts, and so, and they just say, they keep moaning and groaning and say, my God, we're here forever, we're here forever, we're here forever. Oh, this is never going to end. It's never going to end. And then you can hear like multitudes. I could hear them in hell. I just pray, God, don't let me see it. And he didn't. I didn't see it. But I heard them, and I felt the torment. A small part of it, I could sense the torment. Not feel it, thank God. I didn't feel well back then. When I was only 30 years old is when all this happened. And this is the thing that got me to be saved is because I saw heaven, I saw hell, and I heard hell, and I saw the flicker, the shadow of it, and I knew that you could feel that the pressure of the heat down there is keeping them in hell, the fire, and the, I didn't realize that fire had like force, and it, so much force that it holds you right in there. And the Lord gives people a choice to go there or to go to the place of ecstasy. And everything is so beautiful in heaven. Everything is so gorgeous. But anyway, there's so many people that discount these words so much that they just stop doing what the Lord says, and so he departs from them. Because when you don't do what the Lord says, then he says, I am your friend if you keep all my commandments. And so he commands us to go out into the highways and hedges and witness. And there's a bunch of people in the world that think that they're supposed to be saved to be comfortable and not to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord. They think that, well, we have to have some dainties every day and we have to lie around, and that we don't need to get out into the world and witness and testify like Jesus and the disciples did. Well, you're spiritually crazy if that's what you think, because that's completely contrary to the Word of God. Now, he says, preach messages to people, but make sure you tell them that they have to do what I tell them. They have to go out into the highways and hedges, not with false doctrine, but with the real thing. Now, read Luke 11:24-26. This is about unclean spirits, and it's about somebody's body or your body. It's about your house, and it mentions the word house or temple that the spirit lives in. Okay, go ahead.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man.
No, an unclean spirit. When you get saved, the unclean spirit that's in you, the one that caused you to love the things of this world, the one that made you lust after the opposite sex, or nowadays the same sex, which is, what difference would it make? You're going to the same hell. They don't have a homosexual hell and an adulterous hell and a fornicator's hell and a liar's hell. They all go to the same hell, okay? They don't have a religious hell because religions are going to hell. Religion is of the devil, salvation is of the Lord. Now I'm telling you the truth. Okay, so when the unclean spirit does what?
Is gone out of a man.
Oh, he's gone out of a man. So we know now that the word says that the spirit lives in a man, in a human body. Mankind. A woman is mankind. She's the same as it takes the man and the woman to become one flesh, not a man and a man. That's like such an abomination to the Lord that there's no hope for you to enter the kingdom of heaven unless you accept the Lord, unless you become born again. You say, I was born that way? But the Bible says that's why you have to be born again, because God will not accept homosexuals into heaven. Not at all. So forget. Don't believe. Don't believe something like that. Then what?
He walketh through dry places.
Okay, he walketh through dry places, naturally. I've done a message on that. And, they walk out on the land. They're going around in the world looking for a body that had the same weakness of the body that they were cast out of, so they can move into. There's no such thing as reincarnation. Like, to just give you one example, there was a man that was a pharmacist and he died, but he was a drunkard also. And so the spirit that was in him went to look for some other drunk. He went into like a nightclub, a beer joint, somebody that is a drunk attorney or doctor or whatever. And so they see the weakness there, and so they enter in to that drunkard, and they become even more of a drunkard. Some of you may have experienced that this demon is in you, and you can't stop, or somebody that had a bad a bad case of just pornography. There's a demon of that, and a demon of fornication or adultery. Just got to have a married woman. Just got to have a married man. Just got to. Or you see them today, they got to have a fat woman. They got to have a skinny woman. They got to have, you know, they're just all kinds of weird demons. And they pride themselves in being weird. But anyway, this pharmacist, the demon in him, moved into another guy, and the guy didn't, he got drunk, he was drunk, just like the other one was, and the pharmacist was, and he walked right over to the pharmacy, went right into the pharmacy, and went into the back where the pills are and everything, and he started mixing different prescriptions for people that he knew. He'd get into that pharmacy, and the man never knew how to be a pharmacist before. There are people that were never in China, don't know how to speak Chinese, but a demon, a drunken demon or a fornicating demon of a Chinese or a Japanese person, or an Italian gets into a person, and then they become even drunker or more of a fornicator or an adulterer. Then all of a sudden, they go under sodium pentothal and they start speaking in Chinese or Japanese or, and they think, oh, this person lived before. This is deja vu. There's no such thing as reincarnation. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, one time and one time only, and then after this, the judgment. But these demons are demons that fallen angels from heaven. And they have been in other bodies, maybe hundreds of bodies. And they may have lived in China, and they learned how to speak Chinese. And when they're in your body, that isn't that you lived before. It's just the demons that are in you that are talking. Okay? So that explains reincarnation real well. Okay, now Luke 11, 24 through 26.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest.
And yeah, he wants to, the demon, whatever kind of demon it is, could be a homosexual demon, which is one of the most demanding demons. That's why you have to kneel down before the Lord and get saved. You need to have the Spirit of God enter into you, because the Spirit of God is more powerful than any other spirit. So if you've got a problem, which people call problems, but if you've got a demon that causes you to lust after, or be a lesbian, or to be a fornicator, or somebody that flirts and is trying to, you figure, well, guys used to like me when I was young, and I just wonder if they still do, so you smile at different ones behind your husband's back or something, and then they smile back, and their eyes look enlightened, like, yeah, come on, let's do it. That's a demon in you, and it needs to be eliminated. So if the Lord really gets into you, if you really get saved, well, then that demon will leave, and you won't have, you, that demon might try to come back again, but you have the power of God in you, in the Word of God, to rebuke that demon and keep him at bay. All right? And so go ahead.
And finding none, he saith, when the
So he finds no rest out there, then what?
He saith, I will return unto my house.
My house! Okay, this is the house. This is the body. He's going to return back to the body where he lived. And so we're not supposed to be the house for the devil or for an unclean spirit, but we're supposed to be the house of God. I mean, the temple of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? Because why should we be the temple of God? Because Christ paid the price for us.
Amen.
If you want to go to heaven. But he said, if you don't, you have nothing to do with him. Okay. If you just want to live a life according to your body, rather than inside the spirit, your spirit and the Holy Spirit, if you don't want your spirit converted into a godly mixture with God's spirit, that's what conversion is. Is God's Spirit moves into you and converts you and conforms you into His Spirit. His body is a spiritual body. It has nothing to do with your body. You have to keep your body down. The Apostle Paul says, I beat my body black and blue to keep it under subjection to the Holy Spirit that is within me, within my spirit, so that I can be a spiritual being that I needed to be. We're like the Garden of Eden. When the Spirit of God enters into it, that's the Garden of Eden, the tree of life that enters into it, us, and he says, protect that tree, the tree of life, which is Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Protect that life. You, when God enters into you, when Christ enters into you with the Father, by the Spirit, the whole Godhead, are the Garden of Eden. And he said to Adam, he says, now keep this garden. In other words, keep every demonic thing up, because there's a devil. And he's going to come here. And he says, you are to keep your wife away from the devil. I mean, if you have to keep her under inside the house, then you better do it. Because if she goes there, she's the weaker vessel, and she's going to believe everything. A foolish person believes every word. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, they believe in the word of God. They believe the word of the devil. They believe the word of, everybody. The gypsy, the candlestick maker, the butcher, the baker, the fireman, the ice man. Okay, keep going.
He saith, I will return unto my house.
My house. My hoose, as they say in Canada. My casa in Spanish. I'm going to return to my casa, where I used to live before. I got to go back there, because I know that this body responds to my type of demonic activity. I like to go and eat in nice places. I like to lounge around a lot. And I know that this body that I'm entering into likes to do that. And I want to have money. And I know this body, the spirit of this person that has rejected the Lord, after the Lord has cast me out, I know that when I'm in there, he likes to do things that I want to do. Because the spirit is what moves people. Like a horse. It's a spirited horse. That means that thing's going to take off and run. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so people have a spirit in them to do things. You have a spirit in you to fornicate. You have a spirit in you to commit adultery. You have a spirit to get drunk. You have a spirit to go and just lounge around. Or you have the Lord in you that's supposed to invigorate your spirit to start doing the things that the Lord wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
It says, and how do we know what the Lord wants us to do? Because we see what he wants us to do in his word. His word is spirit and it's life. And it leads us according to the straight and narrow way to eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Without the word, you can't have life. Okay, then what?
He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out.
The house is your body, remember. The temple of God. Then what?
And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished.
Yeah, there's no activity there. He doesn't see the Lord because at first he was cast out, then he comes back and it was cleaned up by the blood of Jesus, and the Spirit of God was living in there. But because of lethargy, because of lukewarmness, the Lord spewed him out of the body of Christ, spewed him out of his mouth. And therefore, now it's clean and garnished. He says, aha, there's no God there, no Spirit of God, no Christ, no Spirit of God, no God himself, the Father, to cast me out. I'm going back in here because I can see that this vessel that I was in doesn't do the work of God. It likes to lay around. And that's why God cursed that vessel. You know, when you don't have the Spirit of God and you have headaches, jaw aches, eye aches, you have all kinds of aches and pains, you have problems with your bones, you've got eye trouble, you've got every kind of thing. Paul had eye trouble too, but it was because of the fact that he was just gung-ho to kill Christians. And so God said, I'm going to let you see spiritually now and not to see with your eyes that much. But then what?
Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself.
Yeah, he likes company. He says, okay, now, I lived in there alone, but you guys want to have fun, because this vessel, when God isn't in him, and God's not going to take him back anymore, because he wouldn't do the work of the Lord, and God rejected him. He's a reject, so God's going to send him, give him strong delusion to believe a lie that the soul might be damned. So all of a sudden, I'm going to send him strong delusions. So what happens is, somebody knocks on the door and they say, who is it? Well, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. Here's strong delusions that there's no hell, right? Don't believe the Jehovah's Witnesses. They are right out of the pit of hell. They've been deceived. Okay, then what?
And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Yeah, it's worse than the first, because before you were able to be cast out, but the man that they moved into, it's impossible for him to be restored because he rejected the work of God. And the Bible says that we have to do the work. These demonic ministers that say, Jesus did all the work, we don't have to do anything, those are ministers, they pose as ministers of light, but they're giving you the wrong word. They're giving you darkness is what it is. Now, we did Proverbs 9:1, which states that wisdom has builded her house. Now, a wise person doesn't let, after the Lord has come in and cast that devil out, wisdom builds her house by doing the work of God. That's what builds your house, your body, your the spirit within your body, the soul, the mind. You build your house, but it's like a foolish woman. A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman, a woman that's not of the Lord, of the devil, she's of the devil, plucketh it down with her fingers. She really just wants to have the blessings of the Lord, but she doesn't want to pay the price for it. She doesn't want to carry the cross. She just wants to live a life of ease instead of carrying the cross. Instead of carrying the cross and denying herself, she wants to live a life of ease and have heaven too. Well, you can't have heaven and do things contrary to the Lord. In other words, you can't have the kingdom of heaven and then also to eat from the earth. It's like you can't have your cake and then eat from the earth. You're going to have to eat, but then not from the earth, but you're not going to be able to do the things that the earthly people do. You can't live your former life of sin any longer. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 23:29. The word has to become a fire inside you. It has to burn. It has to sizzle. Because why? Because the word of God is like a fire. It's like the word of God is like a spirit. It's living. It's alive. And it has to, if your heart doesn't burn within you, if there's no fire in you, then the word isn't doing its work. Then the preacher that's preaching to you, if there's no burning in your soul, in your spirit, or you can't feel the spirit dealing with your spirit, then that's not a person of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's just the way it is. Now, if you feel the spirit stirring in you, then there's the fire. So read that Jeremiah 23, verse 29.
Is not my word like as a fire?
This is God talking. Is not my word what?
Like as a fire?
Is not my word like a fire? Isn't it?
Amen.
Yes, it is a fire. Gives you the stability, the Holy Spirit, because the word of God is the Holy Spirit, and it's life. And if it's burning in you, then that's the Lord dealing with you to strengthen your inward man, the spirit that's in you, so that no unclean spirit will come back. God wants to give you strength to fight the good fight of faith, to resist the devil, and so that he'll flee away from you. Because when you start using the word of God on demons, these seducing demons that are trying to seduce you back into the world, then the seducing demons will flee from you. Then what does it say?
Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?
Amen. Now, the disciples, when Jesus rose from the dead and they had experienced him, they walked with him down the road and everything. Luke 24:32, they said, when he talked to us, didn't our hearts burn? Wasn't there that fire from God in there? Go ahead.
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.
Okay. Now, the other day I was telling you how the work of the Holy Spirit is within us, and the work of Satan is also within you. So the Lord, when he enters into you, Satan is cast out, and then only the Holy Spirit with your spirit is in you, your body, your temple, your house, and then it becomes the house of the Lord and your house too. So now the work of the Holy Spirit within us is to coordinate by our life, the life in us, by the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is alive. Amen?
Amen.
And the devil is doomed to hell. And so why follow after him? Follow after the Lord and be saved. And I see my time is up, and now's the time for you to receive the Holy Spirit, receive Jesus. Jesus has now become the life-giving Spirit. And he'll enter you right now with the Father by the Spirit when you say this prayer to him. Other people say, well, there are other prayers. Yes, there are. But they all have to have the same desire, the same prayer type. So say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away, my former filthy sins away, in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And if you're driving or something, park to do it. And then I share and tell them four different ways that they could receive a copy of this program, number 324.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, and here's Peg Springman now to sing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is World Pastor Tony Lama tuning in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord.
There was
three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they took the trip to the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he took a lot of gold and he made an idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And he told everybody, when you hear the music of the cornet and the flute and the harp, you must fall down and worship the idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego wouldn't fool them with a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I said you couldn't fool them with a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Put the children in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Heaped on the coals and the red hot brimstone. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. 7 times hotter than it ought to be. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Word of the soldiers what the king had put there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings down in the middle of the furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, it couldn't be burned a hair on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Laughing and a-talking while the fire was a-jumping round. Ho, ho, ho! Meshach, Abednego. Now old Nebuchadnezzar called